Radio Daily for Anti Friday. Here we are doing it all over again, but that's all right.
Yep, that's what we do.
This time, though, we get to the end of the week and we get to go to RavenCon.
Whoa, yay!
Well, 13.5, in case some of you are like, no, that was just a few months ago. It's weird, it's crazy, it's whatever. Hi, welcome to the 17th of September, 2018. Which is all the geek without the weight and all the fun stuff. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from the places you know us from. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the lady that just talks straight forward, and you got to deal with it. That there is the Flintstress.
A pessimist is what an optimist calls a realist.
Makes sense to me, and hi. Oh. I might have a few delusions of grandeur. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Podcasting's shaft.
Thank you. What happened on this fine, fantastic day there, yo?
Just talking about shaft.
And I can dig it.
Well, in 1789... William Herschel discovers Mimas, a moon of Saturn.
1844, the first U.S. patent is issued for a printing press with different colors of ink applied in one impression.
Whoa. In 1908, in Fort Myer, Virginia, Lieutenant Thomas Selfridge becomes the first airplane fatality when he and Orville Wright crash during a flight in the Wright Flyer. They were attempting to win an Army contract from the U.S. Signal Corps. Despite the incident, the War Department does actually give them the first contract.
Well, no officers died, so. 1918, Elmer Sperry receives a patent for the gyrocompass, essential to modern ship navigation.
In 1931, RCA demonstrates an early version of the 33 RPM long-playing LP record format for the first time at the Savoy Plaza Hotel in New York City. The format ultimately fails because it's more expensive, the actual record players themselves are more expensive, but it had a capacity of 14 minutes of music per side, so that's an important milestone.
1934, RCA Victor releases the first 33 and a third RPM record, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, performed by the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. The New York Times will write of the new format, featuring twice the number of grooves on a 78 RPM. Quote, what we were not prepared for was the quality of reproduction, incomparably fuller.
Awesome. In 1956, the first television programming in Australia is broadcast.
Was it the Wiggles?
It was. Good day, mate.
1959, Transit 1A, the first navigational satellite in history, is launched, but it fails to reach orbit. And then next April 4th, we'll tell you about 1B.
1964, United Artists released the spy thriller Goldfinger. Directed by Guy Hamilton and starring Sean Connery as James Bond, it premieres in the United Kingdom.
1976, NASA unveils the first space shuttle, the Enterprise. Amid great fanfare, the first complete orbiter was originally going to be named Constitution, but a massive write-in campaign from fans of Star Trek convinced the White House to change the name to Enterprise.
In 1983, the animated television series Dungeons & Dragons premieres on CBS.
So much better than the movie. 1984, the animated series The Transformers premieres in the U.S.
In 1985, Donald Kingsborough, a former Atari marketing manager, reveals plans to launch a talking toy bear using the same technology that Disneyland uses for their Abe Lincoln and It's a Small World attractions. The founder of Worlds of Wonder announces the 2.5-pound toy bear called Teddy Ruxpin will sell for between $60 and $80 and have eyes that open and close and a mouth that moves with pre-recorded dialogue. And it was creepy as all get out.
1989, the Washington Post causes major panic when it reports that a computer virus that springs to life destructively on Friday the 13th is on the loose. The virus, which will later be dubbed the data crime virus, infects .com and .exe files, and it was a bit of a overblown thing.
Yeah. Well, in 91, big thing, AT&T's switching stations in New York City run out of electrical power. Oops. And shut down cold. Their backup batteries fail. Automatic warning systems that should warn of the loss of battery power also fail. The AT&T phone crash affects, New York City, like Kennedy and LaGuardia, Newark airports, which all lose voice and data communication. Over 500 flights are subsequently canceled, and another 500 are delayed, affecting 85,000 passengers.
Well, also in 91, Linus Torvalds publicly releases the first version of the Linux kernel version 0.01 onto the internet.
In 98, Aaron Blauser, age 28, contract programmer and self-described math geek, harnesses over 2,585 U.S. West computers by installing a program that will utilize their idle time to find Mersenne prime numbers. Their combined computational power, in theory, surpasses that of most supercomputers.
1999 on eBay, bidding closes for item number 159779699, the 16mm camera that was used in the movie, The Blair Witch Project. It sells for $11,500 to a bidder named Nishoski.
On eBay, bidding closes another item. It was the production slate as well for the Blair Witch Project, and somebody paid $1,500. Same guy.
Same guy. Okay. Yeah. You know that movie. Same day, same year, San Diego, California-based law firm Milberg, Weiss, Burchard, Hines, and Lurch filed suit against 4Kids Entertainment, Nintendo, and Wizards of the Coast, demanding that they return profits made on the sale of the Pokemon trading card game, because the cards can be used in games referred to as battles, which are won through a process of purchasing new cards. The firm asserts that it constitutes illegal gambling.
Wow. In 2001, the Dow Jones Industrial Average opens for the first time after the September 11th attacks. The stocks had plummeted through the trading season, and the market posts its biggest point drop in its history when it closes down 684.81 points.
2004, Paramount Pictures releases the science fiction film Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, directed by Kerry Conran.
The pink is on fire.
Starring Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Sir Laurence Olivier, Angelina Jolie. It is the most fantastic live-action Max Fleischer Superman that is not Max Fleischer Superman I've ever seen.
Well, in 2008, the International Astronomical Union classifies Haumea as the fifth dwarf planet in the solar system and names it after the Hawaiian goddess of childbirth and fertility.
Well, somebody had to.
Mm-hmm.
Birthdays?
Ella Purnell is 22 from Kick-Ass 2. Maleficent, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Hope Larson is 35, the current writer for Batgirl.
Kyle Chandler is 53 from Friday Night Lights, Super 8, Game Night, Bloodline, and Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Charles Martinet is 63, the voice of Mario, Baby Mario, Luigi, Baby Luigi, Wario, Waluigi, and Toadsworth in various Nintendo games.
Cassandra Peterson is 67 from Working Girls, Cheech and Chong's next movie, Jekyll and Hyde Together Again, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, The Haunted World of El Super Bisto, and oh yeah, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
No longer with us, born in 1677, Stephen Hales, English physiologist and chemist, invented the forceps.
In 1859, Billy the Kid, American gunman.
He'll make famous. 1928, Roddy McDowell from That Darn Cat, Planet of the Apes, Bookworm in 66, Batman, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, The Poseidon Adventure, The Black Hole, Fright Night, The Real One, The Good One.
No longer with us, born in 1930, David Huddleston from Blazing Saddles, Smokey and the Bandit 2, Santa Claus the Movie, Joe's Apartment. Oh yeah, he was the Big Lebowski.
1931, Anne Bancroft from The Miracle Worker, The Graduate, The Elephant Man, To Be or Not to Be, Dracula, Dead or Loving It.
1938, Paul Benedict from The Goodbye Girl, The Man with Two Brains, Arthur II on The Rocks, Spinal Tap, Mr. Bentley on The Jeffersons.
1948, John Ritter from Three's Company, Hero at Large, Problem Child, Stay Tuned. His appearance started the beginning of Buffy being a good TV show, Bride of Chucky, and Eight Simple Rules.
On TV tonight on CBS, we have a rerun of The Big Bang Theory, CBS Fall Preview, New Salvation, and Holmes and Watson realize that their partnership hangs in the balance in the murder of an investigation on a new Elementary.
ABC has two new episodes of Castaways, followed by a rerun of The Good Doctor.
On NBC, we get the 70th Primetime Emmy Awards. Good luck, Justin Hartley.
Fox, Inside the Manson Cult, The Lost Tapes.
On the CW, a rerun of Supergirl and Arrow.
AMC, it's new Better Call Saul. Then the members of the Lodge struggle to cope with the death of a fellow affiliate as they receive some troubling news from a new visitor on a new Lodge 49.
On BET, it's got House Party.
FX is Ghostbusters, which I think is the newest one, yes.
Okay.
I think so.
FXX has The Simpsons, Hello Gutter, Hello Fada, Take My Wife, Please, and Saddlesore Galactica.
FXM has The Wolverine, not just Wolverine. Yeah, there you go. Not Origins, no. The one that's somewhat entertaining.
On Nickelodeon, we get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows.
Because they're also premiering the new cartoon tonight, right?
Yeah.
Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We know far too much about them by now.
Certainly do. BBC America will be showing Apocalypto, which I said correctly.
Sundance has Terminator and T2.
Oh my goodness.
I'll be back.
Sci-Fi Channel, National Treasure, Book of Secrets, because there's a 70s joke for those of you that get that.
On TBS, Family Guy, something, something, something Dark Side.
TNT will be showing The Dark Knight Returns.
On Science, we get Aliens of the Inferno on a new The Planets and Beyond.
USA is WWE Monday Night Raw, brother.
On VH1, a new Love and Hip Hop, Hollywood.
We're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a lawyer is set to become one of the youngest judges in the state, but a tragic car accident with his fiancée brings out a dangerous side of himself, which causes her to try to convince the wife of a vindictive deceased driver that she's innocent. Katrina Bowden, Jason Shane Scott star in Framed by My Fiance.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Ben tries to convince Sierra he's been set up, but she hasn't seen a man with one arm running around, so she doubts it. Claire makes a move on Trip, like a raptor hunting bacon. Marlena is taken off life support, and inappropriately the soundtrack swells with Talking in Your Sleep. Sammy and Belle are thrown when they get a chilly reception from a loved one. What? Yeah, they just took her off life support. Too soon? Hashtag Chappie. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, indeed there's not. But if you've got something you'd like to share with us, by all means, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could always send that voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
Because the storm is over, right?
Yay!
Hi, I'm Norm Sherman, host of the Drabblecast, the weekly flash fiction podcast magazine that brings strange stories by strange authors to strange listeners. We do sci-fi, fantasy, horror. We do funny, strange, and gross. The short stories that your favorite authors were too embarrassed to send to anyone else. I mean, where else are you going to hear things like this? Christ, Terry, what the hell is that thing?
I don't know, but it ain't no speckled perch. I can tell you that much.
It was a prank, a little kidnapping. Not dolphin aside. Emperor Mertzatz clenched his fists.
I'll get that panda.
The Drabblecast. Short, fun, different. Check us out at drabblecast.org.
Hi, this is Marina Baccarin, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yes, and that would have been a great thing for my birthday. Hi, welcome back to it. It is your anti-Friday edition, so let's see what you did over the week. Well, folks, go see, yo.
This week's 10 was last week's 6. It's Mission Impossible Fallout. It made $2.3 million.
This week's 9 is a new one. It's Unbroken, Path to Redemption, $2.3 million.
This week's 8, last week's 5, Searching, made another $3.2 million. It's made $19.6 in 4 weeks.
This week's 7 was last week's 4, The Meg. All the people that bought the book are finally like, we can stop spending money on this thing now. It's actually made money. $3.8 million has made $137 million in 6 weeks on a $130 budget.
This week's 6, last week's 2, Peppermint, made a little over $6 million. It's made $24.2 in 2 weeks.
This week's 5 is last week's 3, Crazy Rich Asians, making $8.7 million, $149 million in 5 weeks on a $30 million budget.
This week's 4 is new. White Boy Rick made $8.8 million. It's had a $29 million budget.
This week's 3 is new. A Simple Favor, making $16 million.
This week's 2, last week's 1. The Nun made $18.2 million. It's made $85 million on a budget of $22. These horror movies make good money.
The number one movie in America is The Predator, making $24 million on an $88 million budget. Yeah, it's a soft opening, but it's actually a pretty strong opening for the series. We'll see if it's got any legs, but probably not.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world.
Geek News!
From a geeky point of view. Okay, so DC, what the hell's going on? You may or may not be pushing Henry Cavill out to focus on Supergirl. You had a Batgirl movie, but then Josh Whedon left. Your streaming service is live, and you plan on adding a Batgirl TV series as well. Is everything going to be a movie and a series while having nothing to do with each other?
Sure, multiverse.
Okay. The series will be a 13-episode live-action series targeting a February start of production for an early 2020 airing. It would be part of the just-launched DC Universe streaming service, where there's Titans, Doom Patrol will be there, Swamp Thing, Stargirl, Metropolis are all in development at this point.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the Earth Fred show.
That's going to rock. As of right now, no one is attached to take charge of the project, nor is anyone attached in any sort of way. Yet it comes out in 2020. The Batgirl film has essentially been dropped at Warner's following Josh Whedon's exit, but the Barbara Gordon character is rumored to be part of the Kathy Yoon-directed Harley Quinn film starring Margot Robbie, and that should go into production next year, as has been rumored, which may or may not actually be a Birds of Prey movie instead. DC, we will make a show or movie about anything. We just Batmite.
Well, AMC is picking up Joe Hill's Nosferatu. It's a number 4 and a number 2.
Is it about a vampire graffiti artist?
Well, the story concerns a supernatural figure who feeds on the souls of children and puts them in Christmas ornaments.
Which shows how faithful they are staying to the original.
Yeah, as a novel, it does work pretty well, but to turn it into a TV series, some big changes will need to happen. Zachary Quinto will play Charlie Manx, the antagonist at the heart of the story, who's described as a seductive immortal who feeds off the soul of children, then deposits what remains of them into Christmasland, an icy, twisted Christmas village of Manx's imagination where every day is Christmas Day, and unhappiness is against the law.
So you weren't kidding about the Christmas.
No! Ashley Cummings from Hounds of Love will play Vic McQueen, a young working-class artist whose creativity awakens when a supernatural ability to track Manx. She works to defeat Manx and rescue his victims without losing her mind or falling victim to him herself. Sounds rather different than the book, which has Vic as the lone person to escape from Manx's clutches, but the book also has Vic's son targeted by Manx, but Cummings is much younger than Vic in the books, so they might be deleting the son storyline altogether. Who knows? The 10-episode series will premiere on AMC in 2019, and I'm really looking forward to that crossover with The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And now an announcement we've waited a long time to say. SpaceX signed its first private passenger to fly around the moon aboard its big Falcon rocket.
Ooh, who is it?
Well, almost definitely not Elon Musk, who hinted that the mystery customer may be from Japan. See, last September, they kicked off with their new BFR design, highlighting a smaller but still pretty big, fully reusable combined rocket and spaceship. Capable of sending 150 tons into low Earth orbit, the Monster Rocket could one day make the rest of SpaceX's fleet. Sure. The Falcon 9, the Falcon Heavy, the Dragon, they could make them all obsolete. The CEO also teased alternative plans for launching satellites and ferrying people from one Earthbound city to another.
Like a super Segway?
Except one people aren't embarrassed to be on. This marks the first astronaut launch on U.S. soil since the space shuttle's retirement in 2011.
But wait, who is it?
Well, we're going to find out in a few hours because we got to tune into the SpaceX live stream to find out who the secret passenger is and why they were chosen for this particular mission.
It's Joe Rogan, isn't it?
I doubt it. His high trips are done a different way.
Well, interesting story. Formaldehyde. It does a great job of preserving things, but it's not the best stuff for us to, you know, be around. Not where we're alive, anyway.
That's why I hide from it.
Boo. Well, you may think you do, but many of us spend a lot more time in close contact with formaldehyde than we think. One big reason why that is a common ingredient in the adhesives that hold together pressed wood furniture. Fortunately for us, a team of researchers at Purdue University have come up with a non-toxic alternative. They have made a biomimetic glue that was inspired by undersea creatures. They studied the proteins that the muscles released when they attached to a surface and then formulated synthetic versions. Purdue's creation is actually around 10 times stronger than the glue the muscles themselves produce. Apart from being non-toxic and substantially stronger than today's commercial adhesives, Purdue's alternative offers a couple other key advantages. Unsurprisingly, one of those is that it's still effective when used underwater. Kind of cool. Another is that the adhesive can be broken down safely and easily, which could simplify the recycling process for materials like cardboard. This is really cool. Glues that are used today also prevent us from composting many cardboard and paper products. This new muscle-inspired adhesive has the potential to change all of that. It could even lead to compostable furniture. Well, it has to be adopted by manufacturers, and for that to happen, that might not be too far off. Purdue scientists already have a patent in hand, and the Purdue Office of Technology Commercialization is ready to ink licensing deals, which means we will now have to change our definition of what nature's glue is.
I'll never change that. Obsession. It's more than a one-hit 80s wonder from Animotion. Obsession is everywhere.
Obsession, obsession. And not just from Calvin Klein.
Every few years, an obsession comes along in the gaming world that simply takes over. World of Warcraft and Minecraft frequently have reports of kids getting just incredibly hooked on it, parents getting so mad, and even some shattered relationships. And that's all being brushed aside, though, thanks to Fortnite.
14 days? What?
No, N-I-T-E. Fortnite, the massively popular free-to-play online shooter that boils the current Battle Royale game craze down to its most efficient and addictive form thus far. Because while the game itself has graduated in the last year from plucky, extremely ubiquitous Team Fortress knockoff to, holy hell, that's all anyone's playing! It even inspired cross-platform co-op play. And that's a big deal.
Wow.
That's right, Switch users can play against Xbox 360 people. It's weird. Epic Games' massively popular title has just achieved the real brass ring, though, in the supposedly life-destroying video game addiction stakes, as a report reveals that more than 200 divorce proceedings have cited the game in their complaints. And that's just in the UK.
Damn.
And only in the year 2018. Now, in fairness, it comes from a press release by online divorce service Divorce Online, who presumably have a vested interest in making divorce seem intriguing and cool in a way that only, you walked in front of the screen, now a 10-year-old shot me and I'm dead, so I'm going to take the house from you. Truly can't.
Well, that's fair.
Even if you take that with an unhealthy dose of salt, it's an impressive number, supposedly representing about 5% of all British divorces in the last year. So congratulations are in order to Epic Games and to every couple who worked hard to make this achievement possible. So just wait now until they make like the Fortnite Monopoly edition. Then entire family's just going to start killing each other.
Damn.
GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works 9 States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. Tell us what you see there by sending a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or that magical voicemail number of
510-GRD-CROW.
So remember, you got us this week, next week. I assume some fake poser show is going to be on. I don't know. I'll ask people. I don't know what's going on, but that's what it is for now, and we'll see you the next time we do.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
You are all weirdos.
Piss off.
Peace out, player.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Hey, look! The Dungeons and Dragons ride!
A break.
I don't like this.
Whoa! What's happening?
Whoa!
Where are we? Look out!
Fear not, ranger. Barbarian, magician, thief, cavalier, and acrobat. That was Venger, the force of evil. I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.